You are listening to Backstage Pass Podcast, hosted by Hannah Cridwell and brought to you by Tom. The Backstage Pass Podcast is a guide for upcoming artists and newcomers to the music industry. Each week, I speak to experts in different fields, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Rhiannon Meyer about how she went from producer and engineer to starting up her own publishing company. Hello, Rhiannon Meyer. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, I'm good. You are a producer, engineer, songwriter. Producing, engineering, or songwriting? Brutal.
It's a toss-up between producing and songwriting. Do I have to pick one? Does one have to be like more than the other? Can I just have two?
Yeah. You've got to be ruthless.
I think I am going to go with producing. I thought I'd go with songwriting, but I think producing maybe just kind of, you know, edges over slightly.
Lasers or lakes?
Wow. I'm going to go with lasers.
Okay, and last one, electropop or pop punk?
I'm going to go with electropop.
So just before we came on air, we were talking about the fact that you've, and I know it's a learning curve and everything, but that you've started your own publishing company, which I think is amazing. Could you tell us a bit about that? How did that all start?
Well, Palm Bay Music came about, the idea came about maybe two to three years ago. And me and my wife were just kind of chatting and we decided we just wanted to kind of have a home. And originally it started off as a collective, which I guess it still is. And we just wanted to have a home for the music that we made as artists and writers, but also a home for music of artists and writers that we also love, you know. Yeah, it kind of just happened. And then we just made a website kind of quite like out of the blue. And then then it became a thing.
I love that.
So maybe now it's like a thing.
You've got to just, as soon as you commit and make the website or whatever it is, then you can't, like, just that first step is the hardest thing, I think.
We kind of wanted to be a publisher that was almost, that would kind of nurture and I guess help artists and writers out earlier on in their careers, essentially. Because it just seemed to be, you know, to get the attention of kind of like majors, you know, you, as a writer, you kind of had to have lots of cuts under your belt already. And sometimes, you know, to get into to get those cuts often can be quite challenging when you're starting out as a songwriter. And we had some friends of ours, which were amazing writers that we would kind of bring in and out of sessions. And we just kind of thought, these writers, they're really good and no one's collecting on their behalf. And we really think that they can, you know, do some amazing things. And I guess the idea kind of came from that, really, about working with great writers that weren't currently published, but was getting cuts, but not enough to kind of warrant, I guess, the attention for majors. So we're like, we can kind of do something here, you know, like, why don't we just set up our own publishing company? Effectively we were already acting as publishers, kind of facilitating cuts and getting people, writers in rooms. So we were already doing the job as publishers, but we weren't actually collecting. So then that was kind of that. And kind of from January last year, so from 2020, we officially kind of partnered up with a sub-publisher and... we've kind of officially been kind of publishers, for almost a year now. So it's pretty cool.
That's so cool. I love that. What does that look like sort of as a like job day to day?
A lot of admin. I won't lie. I'm not too great with the administrative side of things. I kind of am more on the creative side of things. So yeah. Listening to a lot of music, we get sent music. So, you know, listen to music that we get sent, finding new music, you know, what are people posting? What are people excited about? So listen to a lot of music is definitely part of it. There's a lot of emails, talking to other people in the industry, managers, other industry, A&Rs, connecting, you know, I guess one job that we do is just connecting our roster, you know, connect to our writers and artists with other writers and artists.
You know, having like gotten used to, in a way, like the producing and engineering and songwriting side, it must be such a different role. Is it something that you are enjoying?
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of learning about how publishing works, I very much had to play catch up and, you know, really learn quite quickly, you know, how it all works. Because I think publishing is a bit of a beast. Like, not, you know, I'm always shocked when I talk to artists and writers about the collections process, how little actually artists and writers, you know about how it works and how your royalties are generated and how they're collected. I think even as a producer, I think I have always just, you know, A&R'd anyways. You know, you come across an artist, you think, oh, wow, you're really great. Like, what are you doing? Are you making some music? Do you want to work together? So I guess it's just... in a different way, I guess it's just, oh, like, oh, wow, I love your music. Is anyone collecting on your behalf? Like, you know. I guess it's the same job, but in a different way. And I've always really enjoyed that aspect. Publishing essentially is a protection of your copyright for your songs, for songwriting. Yeah. The job of a publisher is to protect that copyright and also to collect any money that is generated on behalf of that copyright, just to make sure that however that work is being exploited is essentially just protected and valued. Working with an artist as a producer, I'm still like very much focused on the song. And I feel that just ties in nicely. It kind of feels nice to have also, I guess, have a publishing company. You know, alongside
it's like
that.
It's like an independent machine now.
I interviewed actually a producer and writer called Hannah V. Last year, I think it was actually. And she said something and it stuck with me. And I think it's great. Like she said, I think someone asked her like, oh, how do you kind of get into more rooms, you know, as a writer? And she said, just to create your own room. And that resonates with me like so much.
Right.
And I feel that's kind of, you know, a little bit, I feel that's a little bit like what we're doing. We're just kind of creating our own space. We just wanted to create a space where everyone felt welcome from all different backgrounds. Then people felt heard and seen. And I think, especially as two women in music, that felt really important for us. Yeah. And we're still a completely female run company. We've just recently brought on an A&R, Jessica Sharman, who's a phenomenal writer and producer, who now A&Rs for us, and our administrator as well. It feels quite empowering, I guess, you know, just to kind of be having like a female fronted and female led organization.
When I first started out songwriting, I felt like all of the gatekeepers were men, which is not that was a bad thing, but I didn't ever then see myself for a long time as somebody who could be in a position like that. I was talking to a previous guest on this podcast, Xylo Aria, and she said something that made me go, oh yeah, that's what it is. And she said, if you can't see it, you can't be it, essentially. So yeah, I think that's awesome. I think you're doing an awesome job. Well done, everyone.
Oh yeah, just well done, everyone. Just everyone's doing amazing. It's great, yeah. And we had a meeting with kind of Netflix out in LA, and they just loved that we were, you know, we were female run, and they liked that most of our catalogue was female artists, female writers, and we just didn't realise. Yeah. And then we started working with, we now have kind of a freelance sync agent that kind of pitches out our roster for sync on our behalf. And he also was just like, I just love the fact that you're women and that your roster is so female focused. He's like, this is totally a thing. This is really great. And we were just like, oh, okay. We just didn't think that it was until other people started telling us like, no, it's a thing. And we're like, okay. Yeah. So I guess maybe we should use this as you know, a way to kind of like place ourselves as a USB to place ourselves, you know, in the industry. But I think, you know, coming back to what you said about, I think, you know, for others in the industry, writers and creators, I think to be able to see yourself represented, I think is hugely important. And I guess that's, you know, ties back into, you know, what I was saying about just wanting to feel like a safe space and where you know, writers and creators can just be seen and be heard. And that's generally our kind of ethos, you know.
It's a great ethos to have. If we, just going back to your production stuff, I have already said that the room looks awesome. I know it's a new thing, but it does look great.
Thanks.
I'm just looking around and I'm wondering, from a production sense, is there anything that you are just like, this is my favourite piece of kit?
That's a really good question. My favourite piece of kit.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because I suppose there's a lot of pieces of kit that don't work without another piece of kit.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. I think just everything is my favourite piece of kit. I think I've got a new bit of kit which has become my favourite. And that's just because I've always wanted one. And we treated ourselves to a Neve 1073 preamp.
Ooh. Nice.
Which I've used in other studios, and I've always just found something about the way that it sounds. You can just plug anything into it, and that's just become my favorite bit of kit. Of a moment it is, nice. Anyways. I'm still just really loving it, and anything I record through it, and I've even been kind of like running mixes through it and stuff, and I'm just so like, oh, it sounds so good.
It's just making your life better every day.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Is there anything that you wish that you'd have known before you started out?
I wish I would have known that it's like a never-ending, like...
story.
No, it's like being... The more you kind of get into production and when you kind of go into it professionally, it's like this never-ending list of stuff that you want. no one tells you, but you just kind of have to like learn, like just to kind of just to stop buying stuff. Like, but there's that never-ending list of like, oh yeah, I really want that, and I really want that, and I really want that.
Yeah,
and no one ever really tells you that. And I kind of struggle with that. I'm forever like having to be really careful about, you know, when I see like, you know, plugins and stuff, and I'm like, oh, I could really.
Yeah. Oh my God, that stuff can add up, you know.
It really does. So, I have to be careful because sometimes I just buy stuff and then like my wife is like, you did what? We don't need another plugin. I'm like, but we really do. We need this one because it does something like very particular that I think we really need. Yeah.
As you've told me, you listen to a lot of music, especially due to the new launch of the publishing company. So one of my final questions is, what is your track of the week?
I've just been kind of obsessed with Dua Lipa's album, Future Nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. So
and
good.
There's a podcast where they kind of, you know, pick apart the song and they talk about the song.
Oh, okay.
Song Exploder, I think that's what it's called. Song Exploder.
Oh, okay.
Yes, a great podcast. And they were just talking through... that track, it was produced by Koz. I just love it. So that would probably be my track.
And what is the best lesson that you've learned in your career so far?
It's okay to make mistakes as long as you just don't, you know, repeat them. Yeah, it's okay to fuck up. Just got to keep going.
Thanks so much for being a great guest on this podcast, and I hope everything goes well with the new publishing company. It sounds awesome.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me. It's been really great. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.